What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Rob Reese here alongside Pete Truskowski, filling in for Petey Jensen, who has the day off. Pete, welcome to the show. First time. Good to have you on.
Yeah, it's an honor to be on. How are you doing today, Rob?
Doing well, doing well. Pete comes highly recommended by Michael Leboff from the Action Network. All things gambling, all things fantasy sports. And fellas, we got to start here talking a little bit about the frustration I think Montreal experienced in Game 2. I don't think they could have put together a better game plan. Nick Suzuki was incredible with 9 shots on goal. They got some quality chances. And Tampa Bay, on the flip side, probably plays their worst game of the entire playoffs and still comes out victorious. Pete, are you seeing any appeal in going after the Habs to win the next couple games here?
Well, on the series price to come back and win right now, they're plus 800. It's not enough. I would need at least 10 to 1. I mean, do they really have better than 10% chance of coming back to win this series? Winning 4 or 5 games, I don't think it's much higher than 10%. It's probably lower. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so. I will say this, and just to be candid, I really am impressed that the Habs were able to put that kind of performance up against the Bolts. I mean, Bobby, that's something that I don't think either one of us would have really said coming into the series. I loved what they did against Vegas. They definitely rose to the occasion there. But to beat a team like Tampa, you not only need to have Carey Price playing as a world-class goalie, you also need to have someone like Suzuki or like Caulfield scoring a goal every single game in the series.
Well, the shots and the offense generally, all that was encouraging. The miscues, of course, not encouraging. And Pete, you said you would need 10 to 1 to bet Montreal. And I tend to agree with you. I mean, plus 800, you're looking at it, you're saying, well, wow, you know, can Montreal really win the next, you know, 4 out of 5 games or so, Pete? I just don't see it.
Even at 10 to 1, I'm not rushing to bet it. I mean, Montreal is what we know what Montreal is. It's a great story. I'm really happy for their fans. They're lucky to be, not lucky to be here. They deserve to be here, but nobody expected them to be here. And Tampa is Tampa Bay. I mean, they went through the Central Gauntlet. They went through Carolina, Florida. And then they beat the Islanders, who, I mean, not to disrespect the Habs, I'm pretty sure I would consider Montreal like a Walmart version of the New York Islanders. Like,
I said I wasn't going to touch the Canadiens until they got to the Bell Center. So maybe in Game 3. So last night I'm looking at Game 2 and I'm thinking, oh, you know, Canadians plus 170 or so. Is it worth it? I'm not jumping in front of the Bolts train, you know, when they're at home. I thought maybe I would take the Canadians Game 3 to get it to 2-1. But I think that's such a backbreaking loss that I don't even think I can bring myself to it in Game 3. I think it's a really backbreaking, discouraging loss. There's two ways to look at it. Are you encouraged, Rob, or are you discouraged? I'm discouraged.
No, I'm encouraged because I just think what I saw was enough for me to believe that they'll win one, at least one at home at the Bell Center. And then the second thing, the piece of news that we're getting this morning is that their coach is going to be behind the bench. Ducharme will be back for Game 3. And I think that just has a lot more of an impact in the locker room to keep things positive, Pete, than if he were to miss more time from the COVID protocol. So I think there's these little storylines that I like to get them over the hill. The only question I have is, can we finally get some breakthrough through scoring from their defensemen? I mean, Petrie had another tremendous game with 5 shots on goal. If you're playing shot props, I would definitely hit Suzuki. I would definitely hit Petrie for Game 3 at home. But we just need that guy to score a big goal. And it seems like even a guy like Brendan Gallagher, who was mucking it up in Game 1 and only played 11 minutes in Game 2, like, he needs to be an offensive force for them too. And that's the only concern I have, is that they just don't have enough to match that, where Tampa has 3 lines, even without Killorn in Game 2, that we're able to produce.
And it's just that, like, all of Montreal's strengths, Tampa is better at Montreal's strengths than Montreal is at their strengths. Goaltending. Carey Price has been amazing, but I'm taking Vasilevsky 100 times out of 100. I mean, the forward depth, Montreal, they have 4 great lines. They could roll their lines. So does Tampa Bay. Montreal's penalty killing. Well, Tampa Bay has an out-of-this-world power play to negate that. You keep on going, and it's, oh, Montreal can grind teams down and win games. Well, as a New York Islanders fan, look at what Tampa Bay did to the Islanders in Game 7 last year, last round. They are perfectly capable of winning a game 1-0, 2-1. It's just, how does Montreal win that game? Like, how does Montreal win 4 out of 5 games right now?
Right.
It's just not going to happen. I mean, I hate that because Montreal's clearly the side where there's value on it. It's pretty much the only side you can bet in this series.
Yeah.
Because you cannot lay all the juice on Tampa Bay. But it's just like one of those series where you're like, oh, this is going to be painful every single day. I mean, you deserved a better result yesterday if you backed the Habs at plus 190 at some points earlier in the, on Tuesday. And you sit there plus 190. They had over 40 shots on goal. And then they score with 0.3 seconds left in the second period. A turnover on a reversal midway through the third. Carey Price doesn't know where the puck is. You know, like, damn, I was on the right side of that bet, but I got nothing. It's a zero. It's a loss.
So money line opened plus 115 for Habs in game three. And that's not enough for me either to go big on them. Like, give me something better than that. Give me a little bit more incentive to play the Habs here than plus 115. I mean, I like the appeal. Like I said, I like the storyline of Ducharme coming back. I do think they'll win one of game three or game four. But even from like a betting angle, that's not enough for me to get really excited about making that play.
And also, it's Tampa Bay and home ice advantage. Their home ice advantage is probably overrated. Or at least they're downgraded too much when they go on the road. They're just as good on the road as they are at home, at least for the first two rounds of these playoffs. Pretty sure they were 5-1 on the road. I mean, Nashville Coliseum is a different animal. They lost two or three last rounds. But, I mean, Bell Center is going to still be at 3,500 capacity. Their fans have been fine, but, I mean, it just sucks that they can't get more people in there for that game. So, I mean, if you're giving me Tampa at minus 130, it's definitely worth considering. But I agree with Rob that I think Montreal wins one of these next two games. So if you bet Montreal on the money line both nights, you're probably going to come out on top. Right. I don't see a sweep here. So, I mean, on one side, this is going to be the best time to play Tampa Bay because they're on the road and the value is pretty much there. But also, unless you're expecting a sweep, you should probably just bet the Habs both nights and come out with a profit.
That's not a bad way of looking at it. I was going to ask you, because we have some degenerates, including myself, you know, that just want to have something on a game, you know, a little wager. And I think that might be the direction I'm going, because before the series, I couldn't take Tampa. Like I said, in the first two games, I'm waiting for Montreal. I want to believe that Montreal is going to win one of these games. So I think that's the angle that old Bob Bender is going to take, you know, heading into Friday night's game three and then looking ahead to game four. That would be what I would do. And then I thought the under would come in game two. I really have no sense on these totals. I had a feeling that Price would play better. I think everything would tighten up in game two. I don't have a sense for a total in game three. Do you, Robbie? Do you guys?
Well, total, Bob, it's going to be hard for me to say. Just let me get this out of the way. The goal that Montreal scored in game two was the worst goal in Stanley Cup finals history. So we can't go on further here and paint this picture like this was some tight game. I know Montreal played really well. Their shot totals were good, but a lot of their shots, I mean, Cole Caulfield had three shots from like literally the red line, almost below the goal. I mean, at a certain point, they need to generate more. And the Coleman goal on the other side, in my opinion, was one of the best goals I can remember in Stanley Cup final history. I mean, that is a hernia for most people extending like that in the core region. And the fact that he scored on that play is everything you need to know about Tampa Bay. And I hate to say to, you know, I'm going to keep it chalk here and go with the Bolts, but my prediction prior to the series was Bolts in five. That is tipping my cap to the Habs that they will win a game. I think it's going to be one of game three or game four. I'd probably say it'll be game three, and then we'll see a response from Tampa in game four. But when we look at totals and everything, I'm just not really seeing a clear picture here, because is Alex Killorn going to be back in the lineup? Is he going to be scoring, or is Tampa just kind of grind out another win and just assert their dominance? When they need to score, they can score.
Yeah, Pete, you could tell, the listeners could tell, the way we're talking about this is just like it. Sometimes things just jump out at you and you see, okay, you know, or you're going to ride a team like the Islanders, you know, you're going to play them as underdogs, and you're going to, there's just not much out there in this series. I hate to say it, but you're like, I'm grasping for straws a bit, Pete. So give me something.
If you like Montreal in five, you could live bet that right now at plus 200. You could bet Montreal, Tampa Bay to win the series 4-1. It's plus 200 right now. Tampa Bay to sweep is plus 170. Tampa Bay in six is plus 500. So if you want to get cute and real specific, you could attack those angles. But, I mean, yeah, it's just – it stinks because I really did want more, but it just seems like Tampa Bay is going to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, and when I go back – I go back around too, and I kind of revisit Montreal Vegas, and right from the puck drop in game one, you felt that that was going to be a really hard fought series. You felt that Montreal was going to give them everything a run for their money. I want to tip my cap to Matt Russell last week or 2 weeks ago, who predicted that perfectly from Action Network, was bang on about the Montreal Canadiens being a tough opponent for the Vegas Golden Knights. But this series does not feel that same way. Even with Islanders Tampa, you felt, okay, yeah, there's something going on here. Even after the Islanders lost 8-0, nothing. They came back and responded beautifully the next game. And you're like, okay, there is something here. I'm not feeling that same way. And I'm not discrediting that, the Habs in any way, shape, or form. I agree with you, Pete. They deserve to be in this position. But in terms of a betting angle, I just am seeing nothing intriguing here other than playing some shot props with Suzuki, Petrie, maybe Caulfield too. And then on the other side of the ice, I just think Tampa in five is a very safe bet. You could lower that to four. If they win game three, it's probably a sweep, but I'd like to think at least the Habs get one game here, and hopefully we can talk about maybe extending the series a little bit.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the total earlier. Montreal had 40-something shots yesterday, but they only had seven high-danger chances at 5-on-5. And Vasilevsky, like, he was great, but he wasn't spectacular. It wasn't like one of those games that you're going to remember forever. Like, oh, my God, Vasilevsky stole this game. He stood in his head all night. He was just solid. The goal he gave up was not great. Tampa Bay's first goal was also not great from Bryce. Their third goal on the reversal by Edmondson, he had no clue where the puck was. It was just an ugly goal. So, I mean, I do think that if I had to bet a side on totals, I would lean towards the under with two great goalies. And goal scoring, obviously not a strength for Montreal right now. And Tampa Bay willing to grind it down and win games 2-1, 3-2, 1-0 like they did last round, like they did yesterday. I would lean under. I mean, I don't see how these games go too far over unless it's a blowout like game one was, where Tampa scored with like a minute left to put the game over.
So, Pete, I read a lot of the action sports articles from all sports, but mainly NHL. And if you don't have Action Sports, go get the subscription. It's great. If you're a sports fan and you want to start dabbling in wagering, the information's unbelievable. I don't see a lot of articles written on totals for your group, Leboff, you, Russell. I get a bunch of people coming at me. Hey, what do you like total wise? What do you think total wise? I personally stay away also because it's a bit of a crapshoot, especially with the empty net scenario. The empty netters and all that sort of stuff. But then on the other, you know, side of it, there's people that are just gung-ho on these totals. Just, I kind of wanted to get into your brain here on the strategy. Is it just something you essentially look at and you're like, I just don't want to deal with these empty netters. I don't want to deal with that randomness when it comes to totals.
I did lose a under bet once on a game that was 2-0 with like 40 seconds left in the game, under 5.5. And ever since then, I'm like, I'm not doing this. It's just with empty netters and the goalie pulled and then overtime. It's just it's not a lot of goals. Hockey, obviously, a low event, variant sport. So the losses just stink. Like, you're always going to lose in like the last 2 minutes of the game on an under or an over. It's going to come down to the empty net goal. Same thing with the puck line a lot of times. People are like, why don't you bet the puck line? It's like, well, you're going to sit there and watch the whole game, and then you're going to be like, will the team score on the empty net or not? It's just like, yeah, it could be fun, but you will experience heartbreak. And it's not as easy to, like, quantify as, like, team versus team who's going to win this game.
Right.
Like, as a goalie, goalies are weird. They're weird. Some have good nights, some have bad nights. Even the best goalies in the world have terrible nights, like, every couple of weeks. Awful goalies steal games. It's just – totals are a lot harder to, like, know with certainty what you're getting with. And then even if you nail a game, you could still blow it in the last second. Because I remember Montreal versus Toronto, game two or three of these playoffs. Ducharme pulled the goalie with, like, 7 minutes left in a 4-1 game. Had the under in that one. I was like, I hate this man. I hate this man.
I gotcha. Yeah, I feel you. I'm the same way with the puck line, Robbie. Last night I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I said, like I said, I'm not jumping in front of the bolts. I would consider the Lightning on the puck line. It ended up that would have hit. I don't know what the price was on that. But again, you don't want to deal with, I'll call it, it's BS. You know, sometimes there's some things that happen at the end of these games that can kind of spoil your bet. You just don't want to deal with it.
Well, and Tampa was, they were an inch away from scoring an empty netter last night, literally like maybe 2 inches at most. So there you go. And your whole thing is like, okay, do I have to watch until the last second here? But I think when we look at this series, especially in terms of totals, Carey Price, Andrei Vasilevsky, I think playing the under is safe enough. But then if they would have scored that 4-1 goal last night, made it 4-1, and you just look at the box scores after game one and two, you're thinking Tampa Bay is blowing this team out, regardless of the performance that Montreal played with. And if you're going to tell me that Tampa can do the same thing where they can can get about three goals. Going into the third period on Carey Price, they're probably getting an empty netter for four goals. So Montreal needs one or two there to hit an over of five. And I just don't think that that's exciting in this series either. I don't think betting totals, it has much cachet. I mean, where is it? I mean, Kucherov, I'd love to see him teeing up one-timers from the left hash on the power play, but against Carey Price, it's not that likely. In fact, great column here. I read a piece on Carey Price recently that he faces at least 500 shots a day. It's a beautiful read about someone that is totally committed to their trade and being the master of their craft. I loved seeing that, but again, I am not going to sit here and make a case where Montreal should be favored in any point and even should have a price. I like what Pete said earlier, 10 to 1, maybe. But other than that, I'm not sniffing it.
Still not rushing to bet Montreal. So in this series, no. I mean, might as well just keep your money in your pocket.
I took a bet before the series on Braden Point to win the Conn Smythe. He had three assists in game one. It's still sort of wide open. And Vasilevsky now, if he can go and do what he did in game two, I feel like he's going to win it. Pete, are you seeing anything from the Conn Smythe market that you would jump on now or anything that you had previously that, you know, you're rooting for, you have interest in? Again, I think Point was, what, 4-1 or so before the series. And I thought, listen, this guy is leading. He's making history. So if he has a nice final series, he could win the Conn Smythe. And at that number, I understand why the goalies were favorite. But at that number, and Matt Russell, we had him on early in the week. He said the same thing. So I jumped on it. What are we seeing now in the markets that might interest you?
Well, Vasilevsky is a huge favorite, -225 to win the
contest. Wow, he's -225. Wow.
Yep. And outside of him, it's a two horse race. Kucherov's +200 and Point's +450. The only other interesting one is Carey Price at +800. If Montreal could win even a game or two, does Price have any chance of winning the Conn Smythe as a loser? I don't think so, but he might. Like, I don't think it's enough to bet, but he pretty much, if his team scored two goals in a game, they won the game in these playoffs. He's been sensational, but I don't think they would give it to a losing goalie.
Robbie, he'd have to get it. I feel like he'd have to get it to game seven and stand on his head in game seven and lose in like an overtime situation. Of course, along the way, have some great games in net. So I don't see that. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking for just a high number, I mean, take the Canadians to win the series or take Carey Price to win the Conn Smythe. And if you're doing that now, you're not getting the numbers you could have got, obviously, you know, a couple weeks ago.
When in history is the last time that that's happened? Was it J.S. Jaguar winning the Conn Smythe against, was it the Devils or something? And yeah. Davey Satriano is still upset about it to this day over Martin Brodeur. Isn't that the last time?
I think that's the last time. Yeah, it might be the only time in my lifetime that I recall that happening. But yeah, and he was incredible.
Yeah.
So Price will have to be in absolutely mind-boggling for that to happen. And it would have to get to seven games, I would think.
Well, I like that number for Carey Price, but I can't see this getting to seven games in any scenario, even if Tampa dealt with more injuries. They're just so solid. I would say that this is between Kucherov and Vasilevsky. The point story is good, but keep in mind who's voting on this award and keep in mind the context. Nick Kucherov did not play a regular season game. Say what you will about, you know, circumventing the cap. I'm not buying that. They deserve to be here. They are the best team in the NHL by a long shot. And Kucherov laying it up like he has throughout the postseason, he easily deserves this award. The only thing is Montreal's not going to score more than two goals a game at most. So that points me to believe that Vasilevsky should be favored. And I think it's a slam dunk at this point.
Robbie, when you mentioned Kucherov, Pete, you basically rolled your eyes. I know you're an Islander fan, so you have some strong feelings on what happened last round and maybe a little post-mortem, because I want to ask Leboff. I want to ask all the Islander fans. I want to ask Pete. I want to ask Harding, and I don't want to shift gears completely here. But when he mentioned Kucherov, you rolled your eyes. You don't like that situation. As I understand, you know, the thing has been in place for 15 years. You know, they followed the rules, folks. So everybody
needs to come. It's never been manipulated to this degree. This guy was ready to return in like March from everything I've read. Late March, early April. He could have played half the regular season.
This is an Islander fan that's very angry right
but
now.
I'll just throw this out there to play devil's advocate, because I know I definitely understand the point that people are making. Like, there's no doubt about it, especially a player of Kucherov's magnitude, right? But Tampa Bay is such a solid team that, okay, throughout the regular season, I mean, they finished third. You know what I mean? And they still had to go through some adversity. I just think that you could make the same argument. Okay, well, then the Caps should hold off Ovechkin, load management, only play him in the postseason. They'll get there. But there's absolutely no incentive for a team to do that. You know what I mean? So I think this is, there's just not much more to that than the Islanders unfortunately got burned by it.
I mean, there is incentive to do it because Tampa Bay is good enough to make the playoffs without them. And then they would have to clear like $9 million off their books. They would have to blow up a significant portion of their team in order to be cap compliant before the year. They tried waving Tyler Johnson. Nobody claimed them. They probably would have to move someone like Killorn or Palat or Gord or any of those guys. They would have to lose a top six piece. And at that point, it's just they would have lost a significant part of their team in order to have to follow the rules. And I love when people are like, Andersley. The Islanders are over the cap. They have Andersley on LTIR. Andersley didn't even play in the series. Andersley has a torn ACL. It's not the same situation. Like, I mean, obviously, if Andersley came back from injury and was healthy and the Islanders were $10 million over the cap, I would have been like, yeah, he was hurting. Now he's healthy. What do you want?
So, Pete, do you think that affects you? If you're voting for the Conn Smythe, does that affect you when you're looking at it? And Kucherov thinking, I mean, maybe if it's not even something you're actively thinking about it, but again, humans are voting. Do they take that into account? I'm not so sure they will. Pete and Russell brought that up earlier in the week. I don't know if I think about that. To me, I'm looking at what did he do in the playoffs? What are the stats? Who was the most impactful player? I don't think I'm really worried about Kucherov coming back from injury. Should he be on the roster? But Pete, and again, take your Islanders bias out of it. Would that affect you voting for the Conn Smythe?
Well, the thing is, a lot of these voters are Canadian, so they are attached to Montreal right now. And I think if Tampa Bay beats Montreal, it'll become an even bigger story. Like, the press up there will harp on it. So, I mean, I don't think it's a non-insignificant thing. I think it's Vasilevskiy. Like, Vasilevskiy's going to win it.
Hold on. But Pete, the press up there can harp on it all they want, but Tampa Bay has proven now for 5 years that they should be in this dance every single season, regardless of any cash constraints.
The question was whether it would impact Kucherov's chances of getting Conn Smythe.
That's fair, right? And it might, but at the same time, you cannot be a hockey writer and look at. No, but I'm just responding to because I agree. I think the Canadian press will have a little bit of a, you know, is that going to affect? There shouldn't be. It absolutely should not affect it. Kucherov, since game one of the postseason, was a total impact player. In fact, to be candid here, he's one of the only reasons why this series is exciting. I mean, every time he's on the ice, he is doing something impactful. He's making a great pass. He's got his head on a swivel, right? And him and Vasilevskiy. So I think it goes down to those two players. But it would be a shame if he kind of got overlooked for this one storyline, which any team in the NHL really could have taken advantage of and did not.
That's true. I just think it's Vasilevskiy to lose. And no, I would vote for Vasilevskiy if I had a vote. For many reasons.
It will be just because I think the Habs to have a bit of anemic offense. So I think that favorite is clear in a way. I would go Vasilevskiy. But before we wrap up here, I do want to get to some breaking news. There's been a trade between the Los Angeles Kings and the Nashville Predators. We have Victor Arvidsson going to LA for two NHL draft picks, which is it's an interesting trade at this time of year, Pete. I think this is going to kind of tee up, you know, a nice fluid summer in the NHL and offseason market. But any gut reaction there? To LA's acquisition of Arvidsson?
Obviously, Nashville probably wouldn't have protected Arvidsson for the expansion draft. LA probably has room to protect him. Salary reasons, probably. Arvidsson's due to make a significant chunk of change over the next few years. And I think LA, Rob Blake and company, said that they wanted to make some moves to improve their team for this upcoming year. And Arvidsson, he might not have been the same player the last two seasons as he was before then, but he's a guy that has shown he can score 30 goals in this league.
Yeah.
And LA is a team that needs some offensive touch, offensive firepower. It'll be interesting to see how he slots in there. And I think we're going to see a lot of these types of moves where teams are maneuvering to prepare themselves for the expansion draft. With the flat cap, there's going to be a lot of teams that can't afford to keep certain players. So it should be a fun offseason, as long as there are teams that are willing to absorb these contracts.
I love this trade for the Los Angeles Kings. This is one of those kind of plug and play type players, whether he gets a shot on the top line with Kopitar, maybe Brown moves down in the lineup now that he's getting up there in age in his career. Maybe Arvidsson really helps one of Gabe Vilardi or Quinton Byfield on the second line. This also does not mean that LA is done making a big splash. We could see a high profile player like Jack Eichel potentially heading there too, which has been heavily linked this offseason. So keep an eye on LA, but I think Arvidsson, let's just review the numbers real quick. Two times in his career, he scored at least 30 goals. One time he had 29 in 78 games. In 2018-19, he had 34 goals in 58 games, which is a simply ridiculous scoring pace. Sure, his shooting percentage was high, but think about Nashville. They were very offensively a boring team. Let's be blunt about it. LA is the exact opposite. They've got all the young guns in the world. They've got one of the best prospect cupboards in the NHL, and Arvidsson's going to fit in there as a 28-year-old right wing that can really light it up. I'm super excited for LA, and I think this is, Bobby, what we kind of thought, or at least what I kind of thought they would do this year, is they'd be right in the mix of it. They'd be right on the fringe of a playoff spot, and I think Arvidsson's the guy to ensure that they will be this upcoming season.
That's about it. That's all we got for the program here today. I'm gonna consider the play, which we talked about, Montreal game three, Montreal game four, and then potentially the series wrapping up 4-1, which I think, Pete, you said was what, plus two something?
Plus 200.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I'm going to do. So next week, we'll see where we're at. Hopefully Montreal can, you know, scratch and claw, but I really, again, encouraging signs from game two, but I'm more discouraged knowing that Tampa played their, can you imagine they play their worst game and still win? That is not, because you know they're going to play better in game three. They can't play any worse than they played in game two, in my opinion. And they still won the game, and that's just backbreaking. Put a bow on it.
Yeah, well, no, it is backbreaking. And Pete, thank you for joining us today. You can catch Pete on Twitter at Pete with two E's 39. That's Pete with two E's 39 on Twitter. And if you are also a disgruntled Islanders fan and upset about the Kucherov situation, I'm sure you guys can DM and vent it out together.
Listen, I'm still not over it. But thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a fun year. Just wish it ended better for my Islanders. And watching this series, man, this could be us. We could be 2 wins away from
that's the cup,
which makes it even worse.
That's the thing. The Islander fans are watching this series and they're saying, "Oh my, you know, God, we could beat Montreal here. We could win a Stanley Cup. We could be getting ready for Game Three at Nassau Coliseum." But
no, games one and two would have been at the Coliseum.
That's true. Sorry. You're right. All right. Well, Pete, you know, hopefully you can, get all these free agents in order. And that goes, we have a lot of Islanders fans that come on the show. You're not the only one. So I'm sure the listeners are tired of hearing about the Islanders, but thanks for joining us. Action Network. Go check it out. Get the app, all the sports covered. And Pete, you do a great job with the hockey. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Big thanks to Pete. And last tidbit of news here, Alex Killorn will be traveling to Montreal for games 3 and 4. Coach Cooper wouldn't say anything beyond that. So something to keep an eye on if you're betting on the series or betting on games 3 or 4 individually. For NHL Fantasy on Ice, it's been Rob Reese alongside Bob Bender in absence of Pete Jensen. And we'll be back with you next week. For any more coverage, nhl.com/fantasy. We'll keep you up to date there and talk to you all again soon. Thanks for listening.